it, Cowboy.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Live from Nashville, the site of the 2019 NFL Draft. Alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
All right, the sun is coming up. It is going to get really busy all day today getting ready for the draft. I mean, I don't even want to know what it's going to look like down here with the thousands of people that are going to show up. There's a lot of cool stuff to do. But it's going to be the NFL. I love when they take over a city. There's like an NFL experience. There's also, I mean, just you could feel it all over the city. There is one intersection here downtown where instead of the green, yellow, and red, it says NFL. Now, I just saw a picture of it. I've yet to see the intersection. I saw a picture of it. It's a red N, yellow F, and a green L. Now, I think that's kind of cute. If that's a real thing, that's kind of cute. And they say it is. But I also think, like, don't mess with stop signs. Don't put letters in there. Just be, don't do anything like that. It's got to be, you got to do it for safety reasons. Don't mess with lettering and all that stuff. Could throw people off. And nevertheless, it's still a fun time for the draft. And the eyes will be on Arizona when they make their number one pick, and a lot of eyes on some other teams as well, where teams are going to be moving up or down in the draft. As we've been talking about today, there's a lot of analysis that goes into this. This is one of the great guessing games in sports, right? Because everything is so unpredictable and everything is shrouded in secrecy. Again, reporters don't like being lied to, but it is okay to go deceitful when you are dealing with the NFL draft. You are talking about picks for the future. You're talking about somebody that could impact your team. You put a lot of effort into this. You're a team. You have invested a lot into this. You have made your decisions, you have made your analysis. You don't want anybody else to scoop it. You don't want anybody else to sort of, they're going there. Well, I'm going to beat them to the punch. So it is okay to throw, the press and the pundits in different directions. It's okay to do that. It's up to the press and the pundits to figure out that that's exactly what you're doing and to go around that. So we've been hearing a lot about Kyler Murray, for example. Go number one, or is he falling down? As we get closer to the draft, you watch. The talk about him not being selected number one will be heated up. And then it's likely that he'll be just selected number one. It's just a crazy world. Coming up next, Drew Locke said something about his draft status I think is interesting.
Is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from Nashville, the site of the 2019 NFL Draft. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio, getting ready for the draft. Celebrating 1993. A good year. The reason we're doing so, this is the year the Patriots with the number one pick took Drew Bledsoe. You know the rest. He got hurt. Brady took over and never lost the job again. Yes. Boy, this brings back some memories. I remember young, driving around.
Oh, yeah.
1993. Pretty good year. Bad year. Remember Clinton had gotten elected, was going
Clinton
into.
Was elected. He was playing saxophone.
Saxophone on Arsenio Hall.
Yep.
That's right.
That's what got him elected, playing the sax on Arsenio Hall. Wasn't about policies or politics or anything like that. It was the fact that he played saxophone.
Wasn't he on, didn't he got asked about boxers and briefs at some MTV event?
Yeah.
Rock the Vote. That's right. With Tabitha Soren.
When MTV actually did music.
That's right. When they did. That's right. Kurt Loder and Tabitha Soren used to do the news on
MTV. And they held a town hall
question and answer.
And that's when, somebody asked the future president of the United States, Boxers or briefs?
It's so funny because I grew up in New Hampshire, and so we get the New Hampshire primaries that come. So all the candidates come, all of them. And at the time, I was it was my senior year, junior or senior years at New Hampshire. And I remember Clinton was speaking at one of the halls at, you know, he's running for president. He was speaking at one of the halls. And I remember I didn't go in to hear him, but I remember passing it, and there wasn't a lot of people in there. Like, because candidates from all over the place would come, because this is where you would get all of them, and then they would get weeded out before they would go to Super Tuesday. And Clinton came in third, and he called himself the comeback kid because he was had that Jennifer Flowers deal. But a friend of mine who's really into the political game one time reminded me, he said, you know, Bill Clinton had no intention of winning the presidency. He was running for 96 because 96 was the year it was open, because they all thought Bush was going to win. The Bush, the dad, was going to win the second term, and that Clinton was going to run again. He was running for 96. So he'd get some name recognition, right? He was a governor from Arkansas, get some name recognition. And then 96, he'd be the leading candidate going into that. And then he ended up being the president in 1993. And Bill Parcells was the head coach of the Pats. And Drew Bledsoe was his number one pick.
Yeah, and you know what?
What a time. What a time, throwback Thursday.
And Clinton did win in 96.
And he did. He beat Bob Dole. That's right. He beat Bob Dole.
So it worked out well him anyways.
And former Buffalo Bills quarterback Jack Kemp was his running mate.
Jack Kemp.
I think Jack Kemp had a son that was in the NFL for a brief period of time, too. Not mistaken. I might have to. That might be one of those research things I'll have to
do. Did he have a son who played basketball?
Oh, no, he did not. But that one did have a lot of sons.
So you say Sean wasn't his kid?
No.
Kemp's an unusual name, Tony. Kemp,
yeah, that's exactly right. Locke is not an unusual name, and Drew Locke, but he's a rare athlete at being drafted in the first round tonight. But who is he going to go to? He had an interesting thing to say, which I think would raise an eyebrow or two. I think he meant something different, but here's how it came out. I think the idea was he thought was good in theory, but I don't think it came out very well. Here's what Drew Locke said, Missouri quarterback. I 100% would rather go 32nd to the right team than number one to a bad team. If that happens, being drafted by the Patriots, I'd be honored for sure. Tom's obviously there for a couple more years, but be able to sit behind a guy like that and learn from one of the best quarterbacks of all time, if not the best, I think is an ideal situation for any quarterback. I think he's trying to say, look, it would be okay if I got drafted 32nd. But listen, if you're a quarterback, you want to be drafted by a bad team number one overall. Because the reason that they're number one overall is that they're a bad team and that they need you. A 32nd team in the draft doesn't need you. They are likely, barring a trade, the Super Bowl champions, and they don't need you. They've already got a guy that led them to a championship. The number one team in the draft is likely needing a quarterback. Not all the time, but some of the time. And they're likely needing you. You should be more honored to be the number one pick in the draft by a bad team than to be Tom Brady's backup or anybody else's backup on the 32nd team. Because they have elected you to be the man. Now, here's the funny part about being Tom Brady's backup with the 32nd pick. You are not guaranteed to be the man. Bill Belichick might fall in love with another man who could take over the reins of Tom Brady when that day comes where Brady retires. You're not guaranteed anything. Or, like other quarterbacks who have backed up Tom Brady, you could go be traded or land somewhere else and never be heard from again. Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm still holding hope that you have a decent NFL career. My fingers are crossed, my man. But anybody hear from Jacoby Brissett lately? Just asking. Anybody hear from Ryan Mallett?
Nope. How about Matt Castle?
Matt Castle. Didn't he go to the Texans for a little bit?
Now, I don't know if he never had, he never stopped off of the Texans.
Oh, he never did?
Mallett did.
I get them confused because they're very forgettable people.
And there was another former Patriot. He also played with the Browns, but I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, yeah. What was that guy's name?
I don't know, but that's
See,
another one.
These are forgettable people. Drew Locke, is that what you want to be? Is that what you want to be? You'll be the backup for, let's say you're the backup for Brady for a year or two, right? Learning from Tom. You're like, man, I'm learning the system, man. This is great. I'm learning from Tom Brady. How great is this? And then like 2 years from now, with the 32nd pick, the Patriots take quarterback, blah, 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 out of blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, Bill Belichick's like, yeah, Drew, we got to let you go. Thanks. We're shipping you off to Kansas City. Really, you'll be the backup for Patrick Mahomes. And next thing you'll be collecting checks, backing up people holding a clipboard. Don't tell me that being the 32nd pick to the Patriots is a better slot than being number one to a bad team. You're supposed to make them a better team as a quarterback, Drew. That's your job. Your job is to change the fortune of a bad team. Don't you want that challenge? This sounds like a get me into the NFL without any real expectation move by Drew Locke in this statement. Granted, here's the deal. I'm being a little too harsh on him because the reality of it is I think he was trying to say something and it just didn't come out right. Because the question was about the Patriots, the fact that they love Drew Locke and would like to, you know, that they reportedly like him and would like to take him at 32 if he was available. And I think he was honoring that, and I think he was trying to respect that, and he was trying to say the right things for that, but this didn't come out right by saying he'd rather be the 32nd pick on a right team than a number one to a bad team. Because all number one teams are bad. That's why they're picking number one. You should know that. Unless, of course, you were a team that moved up to the number one slot, well, then you're not as terrible as the number one team that originally had the pick. There you go. That's my detailed, deep analysis of this. I don't know. I like Drew Locke. I think John Elway still digs him. He could be going there. You know what might be preventing? Mark Kisla, the Denver Post, pointed this out, and I thought it was really deep. Denver Broncos analysis is really good. Is that what might prevent the Broncos from taking a quarterback at 10? Is that that's exactly what Dan Reeves did to John Elway when he took Tommy Maddox. He took Tommy Maddox in the draft, and Elway was like, what are you doing? And like, well, we're drafting the quarterback of the future since you're not winning games. You're not getting us back to the Super Bowl. And Elway was like, no, we're not doing this. And he always resented that. And I don't think Elway would want to do that to Joe Flacco. To be like, yeah, we traded for Joe Flacco. He's the guy we like. We like a tall quarterback, got could throw the ball deep, like his intuitiveness. We like the way he reads defenses. We think he's got a great opportunity to take this team far. And oh, by the way, just in case that blows up in his face, we drafted Drew Locke out of Missouri, ladies and gentlemen, the quarterback of the future. I think Elway's own experience at that. I don't think he will disrespect Joe Flacco with that. And just as I say that, I bet the Broncos have a quarterback on their board first. But it was a really good history of the moment for John Elway, and I think it could be right on. I think it'd be right on. Show Flacco you're very confident in him. Get your quarterback later. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to find good quarterbacks down the road. Get an impact guy on your defense and give Joe Flacco all the room he needs to make sure he is a Broncos quarterback for the future. Don't give Bronco fans, which are very passionate, no apathy. They're in on every pick. They're in on every play. Don't give them an opportunity to boo Flacco out of a starting job. Don't let it happen. This is once a fan base that thought Tebow was the second coming was going to lead them down the road to postseason glory. Nevertheless. 800-777-2907 is the number. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio if you want to get into the conversation about the draft, who is going where, all of that good stuff, because it's all going to happen right here. Thunderstorms are in the forecast, Ron Culver. I'm a little nervous. I'm not really excited about this. I'm not really excited. Need some better weather.
Just make it interesting.
Yeah, that's very true.
I mean, the event's not held outdoors, right?
I think there's going to be an outdoor part of it.
Okay, that could be a lot more fun.
Yeah, this is the big outdoor arena. I think yeah, that could be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you probably won't. I mean, if it's outdoors, you know, they'll put a couple umbrellas out there. They'll probably have a good tarp.
Yeah, there is this. I think the fans are going to be able to watch it outdoors. I think that's what this area is with the seating that's right by the river. It's this big area by seating. I think that's where the fans are going to be able to watch it, like the outdoor part.
So what if it really, really rains hard? Could we possibly see flooding in Nashville?
Ooh, that's interesting. It's got to rain really hard, but still, you could see some problems with the big thunderstorm.
And what does this do for the red carpet?
Yeah, it's going to get wet.
You know what? They've done it with the Oscars, because the Oscars are always held in the, more towards the wintertime, or the Grammys.
Right.
And that's always held in L.A. where it never rains, but sometimes it does rain. They just put up that plexiglass.
Yeah, that's true.
Tunnel.
So why do they have the red carpet? What did they ask these guys? What do they go, hey, Josh Allen, first of all, who are you wearing?
I'm telling you, get ready tonight. It's an award show.
Right.
Yeah, you're probably going to have a musical act, because it's Nashville.
If I see Ryan Seacrest in this town, I'm going to scream.
He's there. He'll be there. He's going to MC the entire night.
Hi, this is Ryan Seacrest. I have no idea what this event is, but I do know this. We're live on the red carpet.
This is the NFL draft.
This is the NFL draft. Seacrest out. That's right. Oh, my God. So who are you wearing? A shirt and pants. Oh, I mean, like, who are you wearing? I'm wearing a shirt and pants.
Don't you wish if that question was ever asked? Don't you? I mean, like, if not to be morbid or anything, but how awesome would it have been to ask that question to Jeffrey Dahmer?
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, my God. Yay. That's good. It makes me think. All right, coming up, will there be changes to the college football playoff system? Or, better yet, the overtime system? We'll have that for you next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from Nashville, the site of the 2019 NFL Draft. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could join us on SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. We're live from the Music City downtown for the NFL Draft. Just a reminder, SB Nation Radio has got complete coverage of the draft all day today. Boston Gloss with David Gow and Carla Dawson. Right after this show, we'll be here in Nashville. We've got Rockin' Manooch here in the Music City as well in the afternoons. Tonight, draft coverage and analysis with Jake Asman and Alex Gold. 5 hours as picks are coming in, and they'll be breaking it down all night tonight right here on SB Nation Radio, live from the Music City. It's exciting time. There's a few moments in sports radio that we get kind of jazzed up for. Super Bowl, obviously, but the draft is one of them. It's like a collection of, we all gather for, you know, Final Four, the Super Bowl, et cetera, et cetera. And this has been one of them over the last couple of years. So this has absolutely been really exciting, and I can't wait for tonight. Don't take a chance of being stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested. It's free of charge, one of the many services available. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Ordinary World, that was our Throwback Thursday song for 1993. Was that Culture Club?
Duran Duran.
I'm sorry. Sound just one of those British bands. Duran Duran, yeah. They were really big in the early 80s. Yeah, Hungry Like the Wolf, mid-80s, right? Rio.
Early mid-80s, yeah. Reflex. Yeah.
Reflex.
And then had that song in the 90s. I think they had another song in the 90s and have completely disappeared.
They did disappear. Absolutely.
Like, not even, I don't even know if they're around.
Some of their songs are still good. Like, I'll catch them on one of those, like, We Play Anything kind of stations.
Yes.
I'm like, oh my God, this was a good song.
Yeah, Hungry Like a really good Wolf. Song.
Hungry Like the Wolf was good. It's a good little, that was a good little number.
And they have like, no, they didn't do Boys of Summer.
No.
That was somebody else. That was like Don Henley or something.
Don Henley did that. Yeah, exactly. So 1993, Patriots with the number one pick in the draft, taking Drew Bledsoe as we celebrate Throwback Thursday. All right, so the college football powers that be all gathered for the annual meeting. And if you thought we're going to an 18 playoff, think again. Oh, no, everybody seems to like where we're at right now. No changes to the playoff system coming up. 4 is the score that they're going to be using going forward. Now, the SEC made a statement saying, we like this. We think it's great. We like the way it's done.
Yeah,
but you would expect the SEC to do this. Of course, the SEC. They get a team every year, even if they don't even have a team that deserves it. They get a team every single year. You don't have to win your conference championship to get a team in the college football playoff. And a lot of times, they get two. Remember, this is a conference that always believed that if it could get to a 4-team playoff, it would be like a collection of SEC teams and maybe like Florida State or somebody else like that. Right now it's been Alabama, Georgia, you know, You know, Clemson is been a presence in there from the ACC. And then you get your pick from a Pac-12 team that's good, or a Big 12 team that's good, or a Big 10 team that's good. So you think the other conferences would say, no, we'd like to expand this a little more. Let's open it up. But they're not. They don't want to. Not only are they not opening it up, they are also not changing the way the teams are selected. Right? Those teams are picked by the committee, and they're not making any changes to that either. So if you've got a problem with this, it's going to be a while. But that's the way college football is. It's very slow to this kind of thing. If any major changes take a while. They really do some deep thought before they make it. Remember, the college football playoff, look, if you're a young person and you sat down at your desk or dinner table or whatever, and you said, I'm going to fix college football, and you came up with this really awesome 16-team playoff system that uses the bowls, you're about 40 years too late, because we've been doing that party for a long time. People have been making that for a long time. And college football was very slow to go, yeah, we know, 80s, 90s, 2000s, until they finally went, okay, we have a playoff. We'll put something together. So they're really not going to want to change things. Now, they did make a change to the overtime rule, but it's not the change I would have made. So the overtime rule, where every team gets the ball and then you have to respond. So I get the ball, I kick a field goal. You then get the ball, you can kick a field goal to tie. If you get to fourth down, you could go for the win with a touchdown. And then you can go for a kick or a two-point, and then you got to go for a two-point at some point. What's going to happen now is that if the overtime gets to the fifth overtime, then teams will not be starting at the 20. They'll be running two-point conversion plays until one of the team fails to do so. And that's how they're going to determine a winner. It's not the overtime rule I would have liked, and here's why. I don't like the college football overtime rule for this reason. I think it's way, way, way gimmicky. I get why they do it, but it's gimmicky. I don't like it when you get a game that's like 21-21, and all of a sudden it turns into 65-64. That's not really how the game played out. The only reason that it's 65-64 is because we went to 7 overtimes. All right? Scoring in overtime shouldn't be 1,000% more than what was going on in a regular game or whatever it is. It shouldn't be that. It should not be so much more than what happened during the first 60 minutes of play, and yet a lot of times you get that because it will go 7 overtimes. What they're trying to do with this new rule is they're trying to reduce the amount of hits that the student-athletes are taking. They want a lot less plays from scrimmage, so they're turning it into, hey, once we get to the fifth, let's just do two-point conversions until we determine a winner, back and forth until we determine a winner. I like this idea, and it's been proposed, and I grabbed onto it. I like the idea of not have overtime start at the 20. Have overtime start at the 45 for both teams. Same thing, 10 yards, 4 downs, that kind of thing. But one, make field goals a little tougher to kick, make scoring a touchdown some actual work, and then you might get these games to be wrapped up after a first overtime or a second overtime. 20, it's easy to kick the field goal. It's easy to keep these overtimes alive. It's easy to keep these things moving when defenses are pretty good and pretty stout. But from the 45, now you're asking your kicker to do, you know, maybe kick a 50-something yard field goal. Maybe you can only get a few yards and force your kicker to do that. Maybe you catch a play on a break, get it all the way down, and be able to kick an easier field goal. There's a lot more options for scoring that occur, but there's a lot more options to slow a team down with 45 yards.
Okay, the only argument to that would be is what if you had a game that was tied 7-7 because neither team can move the ball.
Right.
And then if you're starting at the 45, you might be just forced with, you know, a low-scoring, mediocrity game. Mediocre game. Neither team really gets into field goal range.
That is very true, but it's
man, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I like the idea. I think,
but it's not different than the NFL in the same boat saying, well, you guys couldn't score during 60 minutes. What makes me think we can do it in 15? Yeah.
So, but then we might end up with more ties.
Yeah, that's true. We don't want ties.
In college football, I mean, it's impossible to tie right now. They just keep going.
A game that goes into, like, everyone loves the 7 overtime game, and I do because I think it's exciting. But at the same time, when I step back, I go, there's something wrong with this. There's something not right with this score. It shouldn't be 72-70, right? That's a weird football score. because it went into seven overtimes and the scoring just couldn't slow down. Just a weird way to do it. SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, before we get to the good, the bad, and the dumb, have you written a book, learned how to get it published and potentially sold online and at bookstores? Call Page Publishing now for your free book publishing kit. 800-215-6815, 800-215-6815. All right, the draft edition of the good, the bad, and the dumb live from downtown Nashville.
Oh, no, no, this, no.
Come on
the
now.
The draft edition of Buy or Sell is coming up
right
later. This is just
why? No, it's happening on draft day, so it's the draft edition of the good, the bad, and the dumb.
It's not.
Ah, you ruined it. Go ahead. Yeah. Good and bad and the dumb. Go ahead.
I sent you an email just now because my good of the day is all about Jeff Goldblum.
Why wouldn't it be?
I mean, he's a phenomenal
actor. Jeff
actor.
Goldblum. He's great. Thor Ragnarok. He was fantastic in it.
He was. He is modeling some short shorts for Prada. Now, I would never, ever even attempt to put these shorts on. But.
Never.
Never. You're seeing the photos now, right?
Yep.
Never would I wear that. They would not look good on me. But I am saying good on Jeff Goldblum for showing a little leg.
Yeah, not bad. He's got to be like 60-something years old, right?
Easily.
Yeah, because he's been around a long time. I want to talk about Throwback Thursday. He's been around a long time.
He was born in 52.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Yeah, he's like close to 70.
Yep.
Is he still married to Gina Davis?
Were they married to Gina Davis? Married?
Yes, he was.
No.
Yep, they were. Yeah. No, no, no. Look this up. They were in The Fly together.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
And they were
I'm going to look it up because he was married to her for a while.
And they were in Earth Girls Are Easy.
Yeah, they were married for three. They were 87 to 90 they were married.
He was also engaged to Laura Dern.
Oh, yeah, that's right. From Jurassic Park.
Yeah, his Jurassic Park colleague.
Yeah. He was when he goes, give me your hand. Little changes and there chaos, the essence of chaos. Yeah, he's been in a lot of movies.
Oh, he's
yeah, he gets a lot of work
because there's a lot of movies where I don't think he ever auditions anymore because they're just looking for that Goldblum character.
That's right.
Because I mean, he's the only one I know that delivers lines that way.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
If you need someone like that, he'll be it for you.
Remember Independence Day?
Yes.
Remember that? Where he's checkmate. Then he had his dad. Think about my David. He's so awesome. Oh, that was good.
You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for any of you.
It wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my David. None of you did anything. My David, yes. What could we have done? Ah, you knew. You knew. I'm doing more Judd Hirsch than actually Jeff Goldblum. But I love that movie.
Well, because you have to be, I think you have to be a professional interpreter to do a Jeff Goldblum impersonation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true.
And if you don't, and if you can't pull it off, you should never attempt it.
Yeah, that's right. That movie, Robert Loggia is in that movie as like the general.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Hey, what are we supposed to do? And he has that, send a message around the world. Tell them how to bring those down. Love that Independence Day. Great. Jeff Goldblum, good
movie.
Good job, Jeff.
Yeah,
posing.
Modeling them legs
good
off.
Stuff. I like that. 68 years old.
Goofy looking shorts, but hey, you know, some men can pull them off.
You know, and you also get to a point where, man, you just get to an age where you're like, I don't care.
Oh, I know. I can't wait.
I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. I don't care what Twitter says. I'm doing my thing, and I don't get. Some people reach there early. Some people take some a while, but we all reach that age if we live long enough. Where honest to God, you could do anything you want. Nobody cares.
See, there are times where I feel that way, and then I'll second guess myself, and I'm like, oh, I'm not there yet.
Yep, I'm not. Yeah,
I'm
me too.
I'm close.
Me too.
Where you know you find that T-shirt in the back of the closet that you haven't worn in years. You know, that's the one you pull out. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, why not?
No, I agree. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So good for him.
Yep. All right. The bad of the day. And there's a little draft, I guess, or a little college football that said the NCAA is at it again.
Well, what are they doing now?
They are refusing to give lineman Brock Hoffman a family medical hardship waiver to play at Virginia Tech because they think his mother's brain tumor has gotten a little better.
Ah,
God. So he will be forced to sit out the entire 2019 season. The main reason why is because Virginia Tech is 5 miles outside the 100-mile radius of where he lives and where obviously where his mother lives.
Love this. Good way to go.
Yeah, so there. I mean, you can transfer because somebody, they brought someone in who's going to start over you. Like, not Trevor Lawrence. I'm already forgetting the other guy's name.
Oh, Kelly Bryant.
Kelly Bryant.
Yeah.
Kelly Bryant was able to leave and start almost immediately.
Yep.
Because they, you know, they said Trevor Lawrence is, we're going to go with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, this was in the middle of the season or, you know, beginning of the season. This guy wants to leave, I believe he was at Coastal Carolina. He wants to leave there to play at Virginia Tech, but has to sit out an entire year because, you know, he lives 5 miles outside the 100-mile radius. And the NCAA determined that his mom is getting better.
Oh.
Even though doctors are saying otherwise, the NCAA says, no, 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 the mom's getting better.
That's not good. That's not a good look for the NCAA. There are some times where you may want to put the hammer down for a reason, or you want to make a tough ruling and say, listen, we understand there's circumstances, but this is the ruling we have to make. We don't like it, but this is what we have to make because it's a slippery slope that leads to other things that we can't have. That's
right.
Fine. I get it.
Yep.
But in this case, this is not a very good look. This is a really bad look because this makes you look very, very petty.
You know,
and don't get in the business of analyzing health.
She's already had one brain surgery. I mean, you know, it's not like he's faking it. I mean,
right?
He has photo. I mean, he is appealing it, and you know, he actually took to Twitter to, you know, for everyone to just kind of give thoughts and prayers up, because the reason why he wants to transfer is because, his mom is now in recovery mode. She will not be able to travel anytime soon, so he is wanting, you know, to be closer so that she can actually travel or go see his games because he was playing in another state.
I get that. Yeah. That's amazing.
Makes all the sense in the world.
And again, like I said, do not get in the business of analyzing health. Don't do it. And don't do it. And don't analyze health in conjunction with how a family should react to that health or how a family should feel about that. I mean, don't get in the business of that. It's not good. It never ends well. And it makes you look ridiculous. Right,
yeah,
I mean,
and
it just makes you look dumb.
I think when I read up, the part of the tumor is still there. They haven't been able to clean it all out. So I don't know. I just don't.
Better make sure nothing happens to that woman, because the moment she goes has real problems and that you're on the record now, NCAA.
Yeah,
make sure.
I get the slippery slope idea, but you know, how often is someone coming back like, yeah, my mom had a brain tumor, that's why I want to go back.
And that's why
it's not really a slippery slope with a brain tumor.
And again, and I get it. I always look at stories like this, and I do try to look at it from a larger picture. Not all the time, because sometimes I just get caught up in the emotion. But when we get stories like this, right, where we say, this student athlete, he's selling t-shirts because his mom lost her job and they're ready to lose their house. And the NCAA says, no, you can't do that. And they're like, oh, you're heartless. But if you take two steps back, it's a slippery slope that could lead to that kind of chaos that you don't want. So you get those kind of things, but not everything leads to this massive slippery slope that you may be fearing. Sometimes you can make exceptions and go, we've made an exception. It doesn't mean everybody else is going to be able to do this under different kind of circumstances, but it does mean people with similar circumstances are going to be able to do this. And that's what I think the NCAA has to do. They're so worried about the floodgates that will open of every single person that knows every single loophole and how they can get away with this kind of stuff. They have to be guarded and protected. That I understand. But this doesn't mean that your decisions are right. And it doesn't mean your decisions are not made. Don't make you look bad. This makes you look bad.
Exactly.
So it's a very good bad to be pointing out publicly on the NCAA part.
Yep. Well, on their day to shine, right? They're sending a bunch of people off to professional jobs, basically graduating from college football today. They've gone through the job interview process. Now it's, you know, which one gets hired where.
What's it, 224 picks in the draft or something like that? Something like that?
249?
249, something like whatever it is.
249.
I'm not doing. I'm bad with the math.
Either 249. I remember there's a nine in it, so I'm saying 249 or 259 when we get down to Mr. Relevant.
That's right. So good. Yeah, that's this weekend is all about all the people that are graduating. You're right.
Exactly. Graduating.
Wait, well done.
The dumb of the day is us saying that they're graduating. No.
That's right. Yeah, right. Graduating.
No, we talked about the story a while back. Do you remember the girl who sold or who sent 159,000 text messages?
I did, yes.
To a guy after one date.
That's right, yes.
Well, she is now wanting an early trial, or not an early trial, quick trial. She wants to go to trial quickly because she feels that the jury not only will find her not guilty, but will also agree with her that these two should get married soon.
She's not looking for a court ordered marriage yeah. to the guy she's stalking and wants nothing to do with her.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to make light of mental health because I'm certain there's some going on here.
Sure,
but I couldn't help but laugh when I saw the story. Like, I would love to be part of the jury.
Oh, me too. That would be, oh gosh,
I would love to hear these opening arguments.
Yeah, she definitely is going to need some sort of
help. How do you even do? I don't even think I've done 159,000 text messages in my life.
No, can somebody do the math? Like, if you sent a text message one every 2 seconds, it would take you years to complete that. That seems like a lot of text messages.
I mean, if you were doing it one letter at a time? That's what I was going to think. If you did one letter at a time, how long would that take you?
Yeah.
If you just kept hitting A, send. I mean, it would take you forever to get to 159,000.
All right, so she did 159,000 text messages.
Yes.
I'm going to do the math on the right here, right in front of us.
All right.
59,000. All right, we're going to divide that by, let's say, 24 hours in a day. That's 6,624 text messages.
In one day.
In one day. Let's divide that by, in 1 hour. If you were to do it all in one day, it would take you 1 hour.
Yes.
All right. By the minute, you need to send 110 per minute.
Yeah, forget that.
And every second, you need to send nearly 2 per second. So you can't do that. So she was sending. Oh my gosh! This is mind boggling.
I don't know what the time frame. I don't know if it was like over a month of time.
Yeah, it's a lot of text messages.
And a lot of it was, you know, she. I guess the reason why she got arrested, not just because she was texting a lot, but because she went a little psycho.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
When he wasn't responding.
Oh, there's nothing worse. Send somebody a text and they don't respond, and you're like, I need you to respond.
No, you know what the worst is that when you see the little thought bubble pop up.
Yeah, I know.
When you see that pop up, you're like, I know you read it. Or nowadays where, you know, I will never put it on my phone because sometimes I do read text and not respond right away. But when they have the read option. That shows that they did read your text.
Yes,
and they don't respond. Oh, that's annoying.
You know, it's so funny. The other day, I was going to play golf. I was going to go hit some golf balls, and I have one of those laser things that you point to a target, right? And I like to take it to the range because I like to know where the targets are, see how far I'm hitting the ball. And my wife's busy at work. She runs two medical offices. And so, like, I couldn't find it because we just moved. And I texted her, where's my golf laser thing? Did you see that? Have you seen that? And she goes, yeah, I think it's over, blah, 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 blah. And I went over and I found it and I said, thanks. And then she just texts back, don't ever text me something like that again. I was like, okay. I couldn't care less what your laser thing is while I'm at work. I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
No, hey.
It's very important to me right now.
Yeah, you let her know that I'm sorry that you're putting food on the table, but I need my golf, babe.
Exactly.
I need to go hit some balls.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb is on a Thursday on SB Nation AM.
With an ironclad fist, I wake up French kiss in the morning. While some marching band keeps its own beat in my head while we're talking.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from Nashville, the site of the 2019 NFL Draft. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, 1993, Throwback Thursday, Bledsoe picked by the Patriots, picked by Bill Parcells, Bed of Roses. 1993. God, the 90s. I picture big hair. What a good draft. What a good draft that was for the Patriots, getting Drew Bledsoe. People were so excited, thinking this turn around, and they did. They turned it around. They turned their franchise around. They were in the Super Bowl a couple of years later. Tom Brady took over, and then the rest is history. All right, yesterday I brought you this story of a couple in, was it Texas, I think, that was scamming the tickets for the Masters. They were using, they purchased bulk IDs, bulk addresses. They entered the lottery multiple times. They would win the lottery. They would get the Masters to send the tickets to another address. They then would sell those tickets for a huge profit. Did that for a number of years. Now it is being reported that they could face up to 20 years in prison for this, which is really mind-boggling.
Wow.
But
20 years.
I'm not buying it. I don't think you get 20 years for this. But the only reason I'm kind of hesitant is because it's not so much scamming the Masters, right? It is mail and ID fraud. And there's like a big push to make examples of people who do that, who do mail and identity fraud. But 20 years is a long time. For this, I said this yesterday, and I was like, I'd be very surprised if they got 20 years. They're not, yes, it prevented other people from, it prevented people from not winning the lottery. But it also, there's no victim, because you don't know if you were a victim or not. You don't know if you would have won the lottery or not had these people not entered the if all of a sudden I win the Masters ticket lottery next year, I will know maybe it's possible I got scammed by these people. But there's no victim here other than Augusta National, because they gave away tickets to people that frauded the system. 20 years is a long time for that crime.